Good morning and welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral for the celebration of the Eucharist on this third Sunday in Ordinary Time. The worship program for this Mass can be found online at stpatrickscathedral.org/live. And as we begin our Mass, we invite you to rise and to join in singing our entrance hymn number 470 in the blue St. Michael hymnal found in the pews. Number 470, Christ is made the sure foundation.
Son and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Welcome to Sunday Mass at America's Parish Church, St. Patrick's Cathedral. A special welcome to Father Rich Gill, the pastor of St. Lawrence O'Toole and Sacred Heart Parishes up in Brewster, who's here because after Mass, I'm going to bless a van to be in service in his parish as part of the Gianna Center there to help women who are struggling through pregnancy, give birth to their baby. Father, welcome and thanks for what you do. Father Brian McQueenie's here with the Knights of Columbus because they're so ardent in the pro-life cause. And by the way, have been generous to the apostolate there up in Brewster. Father Mark Nestout's here, a priest of the Archdiocese of Washington in service to the Holy See at the United Nations here. They all join Father Enrique and our deacon and myself for this holy sacrifice of the Mass, as do all of you, glad, and those united with us in prayer at home. On the Catholic Faith Network, the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129, and our own live stream. And our Sisters of Life are here. You're getting a theme here because last January 22nd, that somber, somber, distressing anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we kind of, on this Sunday, rekindle and recommit ourselves to that sacred, timely cause, that we might offer this holy sacrifice of the Mass the more worthily. We call to mind our sins. We ask for the unfailing mercy of Jesus. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us all to life everlasting. Almighty, ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the holy name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Oh.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the scribe, stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the other people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is His Excellency, and Ezra, the prescribe, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the Lord. He said further, "Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared. For today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened by this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body, one is through many parts. All the parts are one body, though many are one body also in Christ. For in one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons. We are all given to drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. You are Christ's body and individual parts of it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. To bring glad tidings to the poor, and to proclaim liberty to captives.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who are eyewitnesses from the beginning, and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passages where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Boy, it was just a month ago, right? Just a month ago that we were singing Joy to the World in Silent Night as we celebrated the birth of Jesus. For 33 glorious years, we had him with us here on earth, bodily, physically. He was conceived in the womb of his blessed mother, born, grew up, taught and healed and preached and called and invited and forgave and helped and fed. He then suffered and died on the cross to save us, only to rise on the third day. And 40 days later, he ascended to heaven. No longer was he physically here with us. His flesh and blood and bones and marrows is now at the right hand of his Father in heaven. So I guess that saddens us as we conclude he's no longer with us. Malarkey. He's with us in the Holy Spirit. He's with us, yeah, in our memories. He's with us in the Spirit. He gave us his word. He'd be with us to the end of time. And pertinent to God's holy word today, he is still with us, powerfully, personally, really alive. Not in his physical body, but as St. Paul poetically teaches us this morning, in his mystical body. His mystical body, his church. He still teaches and unites and calls and invites and forgives and feeds and saves us in and through his mystical body, his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. No surprise that it would be St. Paul who articulates this beautiful teaching on the church. Yesterday, January 25th, happened to be the feast of his conversion. Remember the story? Saul, as he was known prior to his conversion, Saul detested those first faithful followers of Jesus. He persecuted them. He arrested them. He cheered as they stoned St. Stephen, the first martyr, to death. Then remember, on the road to Damascus, where he was traveling to arrest other followers of Jesus, he had a revelation from Jesus that was so radiant and powerful that it knocked him off his high horse and temporarily blinded him. And the voice of Jesus asked, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, Saul could have answered, "Well, I'm not persecuting you, I'm persecuting your church." Except he knew Jesus and his church are one. Jesus is his church. His physical body may no longer be with us, but his mystical body, the church, sure is. And St. Paul teaches us that we're all part of it, all part of that mystical body. We're members. Oh, to be sure, he, Jesus, is the head, all right? But we're the parts, the toes, the fingers, the knees. We all have a part, see, a significant part in the life, the cells of that mystical body. There's some lessons here, folks. For one, because we're members of his mystical body, we are intimately close to Jesus in and through his church. His precious blood pulses through us. His most sacred heart beats in and for us. His words resonate in us. Here's the second lesson. You know what? When one of us hurts, we all hurt. You think a little tooth in the body is of no importance? Ah, You don't when you got a toothache. When one part of his mystical body hurts, or is suffering, or is threatened, or is harmed, we all are. Here's the third lesson. We need each other in the body. Yeah, it's kind of obvious in the church. We need the Pope, we need our bishops, our priests, our sisters. But we in the mystical body need each other. That mystical body of Christ, the church, needs moms and dads and grandparents, janitors, doctors, teachers, factory workers, bus drivers, hot dog vendors. That mystical body needs the Knights of Columbus. That mystical body needs the pre-born baby in the womb. That mystical body needs those devoted to the pro-life movement. Every part of his mystical body has a part to play, and the church needs each of us, see? Here's another lesson. Just like our physical body, sometimes a part of the mystical body of Christ can get sick. Through sin, parts of his church can be rendered paralyzed, or infected, or wounded. Thank God it's the body of the divine physician, the healer, the merciful one. And finally, this mystical body of Christ, the church, needs birth and food and forgiveness and direction and teaching. So thank God we got baptism, the Eucharist, confirmation, the anointing of the sick, confession, all the seven sacraments, and the teaching of his church. This 2025, this spring, we'll celebrate the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II in Europe. In the devastation, maybe you heard this story, in the devastation of post-World War II Germany, weary, defeated villagers returned to the beloved little parish church in the Alps, only to find it in ruins. They were especially eager to see if their renowned wood-carved cross, which they had venerated for centuries, had survived. And sure enough, they found it in the rubble. A cheer went up until they noticed that that crucifix was damaged, the hands and the feet, and a big part of the mouth and jaw had been blown away as the cross had been crushed and destroyed. "We'll repair it," one of the carpenters yelled out to the cheers of the parishioners. And the wise pastor said, "No, we'll venerate it as it is and accept our duty to be the feet, the hands, the mouth of Jesus. That is the church. That's the mystical body of Christ."
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through whom all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, boy.
For Pope Francis, all of our shepherd Timothy, Cardinal Dolan,
thanks.
For all clergy, religious, and laity, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among and within nations, and for those suffering in war-torn lands, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That through the work and witness of the Knights of Columbus, hearts will be converted to respect the dignity of each human life from conception through natural death, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For communities recovering from floods, fires, and other difficulties, that the Lord grant the residents serenity and hope, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the Knights of Columbus continue to carry out the vision and mission of the Order's founder, Blessed Michael McGivney, and that Father McGivney may soon be declared to be a saint within the Catholic Church. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for our beloved dead, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. We ask the powerful intercession of Our Lady of Life, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Patrick, our patron, St. Gianna Mola, the patroness of the van, will bless after Mass, and Blessed Michael McGivney, the founder of the Knights of Columbus, and of Saints Timothy and Titus on their feast days, as we make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Laudate Dominum omnes gentes.
Laudate Deum omnes populi.
Omnia confirmata sovereignos. Confirmata sovereignos.
Misericordia.
my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept your sacrifice in your hands, and praise and glory of his name, our good and all the church.
Accept our offerings, O Lord, we pray, and in sanctifying them, grant they may profit us for our salvation through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Heavenly Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For out of compassion for the waywardness that is ours, he humbled himself and was born of the Virgin Mary. By his passion on the cross, he freed us from an ending death, and by rising from the dead, gave us life eternal. So with angels and archangels, thrones, dominions, with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Fount of all holiness, make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. As we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity together with Francis, our Pope, and Timothy, our bishop, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. With him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit,
All glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
Deimos dicere.
Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum,
Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Qui
Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
Body of Christ.
Please join in singing our communion hymn number 458 in the hymnal number 458, Blessed Jesus at Thy Word.
We are gathered all to hear.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that receiving the grace by which you bring us new life, we may always glory in that gift through Christ our Lord. Allow me to give the final blessing with this relic of Blessed Michael McGivney, the founder of the Knights of Columbus. Now, Father Enrique, just in about 3 weeks, we're going to have a statue here.
February 22nd.
It'll be the fourth degree of the Knights of Columbus. So, Knights, thank you for all you do, especially for the pro-life cause, especially for our seminarians and vocations, especially for the sanctification of our men, and especially for your help to the immigrants and refugees on the borders of Europe. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Mary, our mother, St. Patrick, our patron, Saints Timothy and Titus on their feast day, the intercession of St. Gianna Mola, whose van we're going to bless in a moment, and through the intercession of Blessed Michael McGivney, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Go forth. The Mass is ended.
Thanks be to God. Knights, you'll follow us out, and sisters, would you and anybody want to come out for the blessing of the Gianna van out in front of the cathedral? Father Gill, congratulations. Way to go. What great pro-life work.
Please join in singing our recessional hymn, number 601 in the hymnal, number 601, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.